Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I'm your host, Mark Roberti, the content marketing expert, bringing you 5 new episodes every week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. Hello, Breakthrough Success listeners. I just wanted you all to know before the episode actually starts, I've been working a little bit behind the scenes to give you something really special. So a while ago, I wrote my book, Content Marketing Secrets, which helps people create, promote, and optimize their content for growth and revenue. And I just put the finishing touches together to offer that for free to anyone who is interested. So if you want your free copy of Content Marketing Secrets, all you have to do is head over to markgoberti.com/book. Now, let's jump right into the episode. As entrepreneurs, we all have these different ideas, these different products that we're trying to grow, these services, but part of being an entrepreneur is being able to live the dream, being able to have a successful business where you feel passionate about it, and you have a successful personal life and a successful professional life. Living the dream, that is going to be the focus of this episode. So today's guest is a small business owner and entrepreneur who is the chief financial officer of the Derm Aesthetics Anti-Aging Laser and Medical Skin Care Center. He is an experienced helicopter and fixed wing pilot, veteran, and aviation consultant. Today's guest for episode 246 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Scott Tedder. Scott, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you.
Scott, I'm really happy to have you on the Breakthrough Success Podcast. And I feel like all of us really do want to be able to live that dream, be able to have a successful personal and professional life. So we'll talk about that. But I'd like to get a little bit into some background. So can you share a little bit with us why you became an entrepreneur and some of the initial stages on that journey?
Sure. So I started out in the military in 1987 and with really no direction on what I wanted to do other than be a part of aviation, specifically flying. So I started out as a mechanic and then became a pilot, a helicopter pilot in the Army. And as I transitioned through that process, I realized that maybe there was a little bit more to what I wanted to do other than fly. I mean, I love to fly and it's a passion that I have, but I wanted to have something that would take me beyond that. So I was interested in business. I finished a degree through Embry-Riddle. And then about 10 years ago, 10 to 12 years ago, I went to grad school and I wanted to have a deeper understanding of business and finance. So I got an MBA through Norwich, and I was able to do that online because I was still deployed to the Middle East and down to South America. So that kind of gave me the background that I needed to get into business. I had always been interested in finance, and I was a kind of a finance geek, so to speak, in terms of stock market and things like that. And that led into the grad school. And once I finished, my wife had an idea for this business, and it kind of all just came together at that moment. So that's how I got to the point that I'm at now.
And it's interesting you mentioned you and your wife both have this business together, and it's a family business in a sense. So I'm wondering, what are some of the dynamics within that? Because I mean, you both have a business together. I'm sure like that's a lot to talk about in family conversation. Like, what is that like to have a business with your partner?
Well, I would say that there are some unique challenges to that, especially for a startup small business. My wife has a very limited background in business and finance, and I have a very limited background in medicine and aesthetics. So we work together in order to, she does a very good job at what she does. I make sure that the business model supports that with, pricing and marketing and things to get people to come in the door so that we have a positive cash flow. There are challenges personally and professionally. It's hard enough to have a solid marriage, and the business definitely puts a stress or a strain on that at times, because there are conflicts that will come up. But, you know, if you have a good solid foundation on a relationship basis, you're able to work through those things. It's not easy, but it's definitely something that's doable, and we're making it work.
And I mean, I could see that. I mean, I actually met you and your wife at in Connecticut, so like I saw the dynamic there. And like one of the things that you emphasize a lot is this idea of living the dream. And I'm wondering if you could share with us a little bit, like, how exactly do you define living the dream? What does that mean for you?
Well, what it means to me is I always use as a frame of reference my father. When growing up, my father was in a job that he hated, but he did it because it's what supported our family. And I would have a lot of respect for him. It was something that he didn't necessarily enjoy doing, but he did it because he had to do it. And I remember thinking, as I was determining what I wanted to do with my life, that I wanted to find something that I had a passion for, and also something that I could do that would create a decent living for myself and my family. So my first idea was aviation, which has worked out fantastic. So I retired from the military, flew airplanes, helicopters, and that truly is living the dream, because I love that part of my life. So I've kind of transitioned that into the business world here. So I still fly for a global insurance company now. I fly a helicopter for them in Manhattan, and so I'm able to still get my flying fix, but I also live the dream by creating a business and something that creates revenue on its own. I'm not necessarily dependent on somebody else to pay my salary. It's my wife and I coming together and creating something that creating revenue on our own as opposed to working for somebody else. And that we feel very blessed and fortunate that we're able to be in a position where we can do something that we love. This is her passion, which is aesthetics and medicine, and my passion is flying and business, so it just works out well.
And I mean, right now, like, you're both pursuing your passions, but how did it eventually get to that point? Because some people, they have this idea for pursuing their passions. Some of the listeners, they're doing something they don't enjoy right now, but they are thinking about that passion. They want to make it full time. So how did you get from, like, before being able to fully pursue your passion to embracing it right now?
Well, I think that's a good question. I think what you have to do is you kind of have to start with the end in mind and find out what your passion is, and something that you truly enjoy, something that you, that is not work to you, that's something that you enjoy doing on your own. And then with that being said, now find something in the business world that relates to that. In a, you know, the better the relationship, the better it'll be for you in terms of enjoying it. And then the other part that's, you know, not necessarily related to passion, but something that creates revenue so that you can get paid to do that, to do something that you want to do. I think there's a lot of people that think, well, I would love to do this or love to do that, but they never really do the homework to say, well, you know, how much income would you like to have? And okay, marry something up that you're passionate about with that level of income, a job that relates to that, and start there and figure out how to get from where you are, create a roadmap from where you are to where that job is that you want, and figure out how to get there.
And I really like this idea of starting with the end in mind, because if you could visualize the success, it's easier for you to put in the work and achieve that success. And you want to dream up a big vision as well, because if you dream up something like a 5% boost from where you are, like maybe you get there. But if you dream like 10x, then you have a lot more motivation to put in the effort. So I really like the idea of starting with the end in mind. But I also want to ask you, what do you believe holds most people back from being able to live the dream?
I think what holds most people back is they never create a roadmap for success. Their path to success ends with "I wish" or "I hope," and wishing and hoping are not a plan. A plan is a definitive path that will take you from where you are to where you want to be. And what you need to do is put your head down and just start driving towards that point. and not accepting no or obstacles as an excuse to stop on that path, finding a way over, around, under those different things to get to where you want to get to. And if I'm a big fan of what you said is visualizing yourself not only in that position, but getting through those obstacles. And especially in this country that we live in, there's so much opportunity. And I don't think that a lot of people take advantage of that. I think that you have to take advantage of the opportunities that are here, have a roadmap or a path, and then look at that path and see, is this really realistic? But I mean, I'm not saying not to dream, but is it realistic? What are the obstacles going to be, and what is my path to get there? And if you can marry those two things up and you're determined enough, you'll make it happen.
And you talked about there are going to be some no's that come your way, and that I agree with. There's going to be a lot of people who say no to you. There are going to be a lot of rejection. Some people may even criticize. That's just part of the journey to go from where you are now to achieving your biggest goals. But how do we get better at taking the no's, not letting them discourage us, and moving forward?
I think determination and perseverance are the biggest things. Believing in yourself and believing in your plan. You're exactly right. If I had listened to everybody that said I wasn't going to be able to do what I wanted to do, I would have never even gotten started. But you have to have faith in yourself. Having a good support group, a family that will support you, or a spouse or whatever, but having a support group there also helps, because there are times that you're going to get discouraged, and it's just going to happen. But what it really comes down to is, how bad do you want it? And if you want it and you're willing to work for it, you're going to get there. And it's just don't give up.
And I mean, if it's something that you are really committed to, you're really willing to put in the work, it's just keep going. As Scott mentioned, don't give up. And there's never going to be an interview like how do you avoid all the obstacles and things like that. They're just naturally a part of the journey. And with that in mind, Scott, I'm wondering if you could share with us one big challenge that you faced in your journey and a powerful lesson you learned during that challenge.
There's so many. Let me think of one that stands out the most is trying to go to grad school while I was deploying back and forth to the Middle East. I the only way that I could do it was I knew that I needed that education to get to do the things that I wanted to do in a business sense. And I knew that there was no way that I was going to be able to take off and be a full-time student because I had a obligation or requirements to my country and the Army. So I did an online program, and I didn't want to be the guy that you constantly use the excuse of, well, I'm deploying or whatever. That was a huge thing. It was a 18 to 24 month process where I was actually would fly a mission or multiple missions in Iraq, and then would come home and do my homework or get into my groups and do those different things. And it was difficult. And there were times when it would have been very easy for me just to say, you know what, I'm not doing it. I'm tired. We had a bad mission or whatever. There was a multitude of different things. And I think believe me, I complained about it. So everybody out there that's listening, I complained about it and I whined about it. My wife is probably my biggest supporter. And there was a one defining moment where I was complaining to her on the phone, and she just said, you know what? She says, I'm tired of hearing you complain about this. You just need to suck it up and get it done. And my immediate reaction was, anger and, how could you say that? But after I thought about it for a minute, I thought, you know what? She's exactly right. Just get it done. So like you had mentioned before about, how do you do it? Perseverance. Just put your head down. Just keep moving. Because anybody can stop. Anybody can quit. But it takes somebody that has drive, determination, perseverance to get over those obstacles and continue to move forward.
And I really like you mentioned your wife got you to stop complaining about it and then you just put your head down and you kept going at it. And I'm sure like some people are like they're putting in the work now. Maybe they're putting in a lot of work, but they're like, when are the results gonna come? When is this gonna happen? Why can't I be out of the situation? So how would you recommend we get better just putting our heads down and doing the work and not complaining?
Well, it's a process. It's a grind, and nothing that's worth putting that much worth in work into is going to be easy. I mean, you have to just be absolutely set in what you want to do, and just continue to assess those different obstacles and figure out what you're going to do. I mean, it's kind of the same answer that I gave before is there's no substitute for hard work, and some of us are going to have to work harder than others. And what you need to do is, there's one saying that, and I stole this from my wife as well. The one saying is, the harder I work, the luckier I get. So opportunities are going to present themselves when you work hard. People are going to recognize that, and there will be opportunities that will come up. And throughout my life, I've had people say it to me. They said, "Well, wow, that's really cool that you do what you do, or whatever. You're really lucky to do that." And I don't. I as soon as somebody says lucky, I always think of that. I always think I'm lucky. Because I put myself into situations because I worked hard, and because I worked hard, those opportunities presented themselves, and I took advantage of those opportunities. And you have to just keep looking at. There's always, and having faith too. I'm a spiritual person, so I have faith, and that is also something that supports me through the rough times. Is having faith and believing that that. There is a higher power, and that is that's going to support me and help me get to where I need to be.
God, I absolutely love that. And the quote that you shared with us, that a whole idea where the harder we work, the luckier we get. That's something that I also strongly believe in. And I feel like it's something where you do see that if you're working really hard, more opportunities tend to come your way. But in addition to working hard, we should be very conscious with learning as much as we can. And you heard about how like Scott went through his he was in the military and he still viewed learning as important. He went back and forth. I mean, like that's some that really shows like how valuable it is to learn as much as you can. And with that, like the whole like idea of self-education in mind, Scott, I'm wondering if you could share with us three books that you believe will have a positive impact on us.
Let me see. The one that jumps out to me right now is The Millionaire Next Door is a fantastic book, which is one that kind of was at the beginning of my financial journey. That was a way to recognize what true wealth really looks like, as opposed to what is marketed to us as true wealth, and how people that are truly wealthy allocate their funds towards different things. And it was a very interesting and insightful look at how that happens. So I would recommend that book. I would also recommend Beating the Street. Peter Lynch was another one of the first books that I read. That basically broke down the financial market, so that somebody like me, that was a layman at that time, could understand it. It was based on mutual funds. It was based on looking at different financial vehicles, and knowing how to properly assess something and invest money into it. And it was a great first book to read. And then one that I won't say is very fun to read, but was a definite, I definitely learned a lot from, and this was in the latter stages of my financial journey, which I'm still in, would be Financial Analysis by Ben Graham. That was a it was a, it's not a and I won't say enjoyable, but it was a very in educational read, but it was it's a tough one to get through. But there's a lot of good points in there that I still use today when I invest money. So I would go with those. And then there's one book that just came out, and it's escaping my mind right now. It talks about having the right people on your team. And I just read this about 3 years ago when I had time to read a little bit more. But and what it talked about is having the right people on the bus. And for some reason, the name escapes me. But he used this analogy quite often is finding the right people to be a part of your organization. And I think that's another one that fits this business that we have now, is we have 9 employees, and those employees, I don't necessarily look for an employee to have a very specific set of skills. I'm more looking for the right person. I want the right people on my bus, because I can train or teach. I mean, there's some things I can as far as RN or LPN or nurse practitioner, but I'm saying that you want the right people. You want the right attitude, the right mindset, not necessarily just because they have a degree from whatever school. It's more about what the person is and how that person's going to fit into your team.
Scott, thank you for those great book recommendations. We will throw those in the show notes, markbirdie.com/E246. You'll also see my book, Content Marketing Secrets. You get that for free. Just pay the shipping, markbirdie.com/book. We'll also throw in Podcast Domination. That's a book that I'm currently writing. It's on pre-order right now, but that link will be in the show notes as well. Scott, like, before we get into the last question, like the book you're mentioning about getting on the bus, I can't help to think, Good to Great? Is that the book?
Good to Great. That's exactly what it is. All yeah. Right. And I can see it. It's red with white letters on it. And I just couldn't pull it out, but that's great reference. That is an excellent book. It is an excellent, excellent book.
So we'll throw that one into the show notes as well. I actually have my own copy of that book, so that's why I was able to get the bus reference. But before we wrap up this episode, Scott, I mean, I've asked you several questions throughout our time together, but what do you believe is one question that we need to be asking ourselves more often?
What is truly important in your life? And I'll just do a brief explanation of what I mean by that. As I've gone through life, I'm 50 years old, and as I've gone through life, what I've noticed is that things that are important to me change with the more experience and the older that I get. And with the benefit of hindsight, I would change a few things in what I think is important. Again, my wife, the grounding force in my life, understood this way before I did. And she used to tell me often that when I would volunteer for every mission that I could get on when I was in the military, every one, I wanted to be on every single mission. And she used to say, well, you know, you missed this holiday, this or whatever. And I would always think, well, you know what? I want to make a difference. I want to be a part of the solution to whatever conflict that we were in. And she always used to say, well, just remember that I'll be here when it's all over. And I didn't really understand that at the beginning of my career. I thought to myself, well, of course you're going to be there, or, you know, but what she really meant by that is that she understood what I was doing, but she wanted me to know that that doesn't last forever, but what does last forever is her. She will always be there. And I remember the day that I got out of the military and it was just me and her walking away from the last place that I had to go before I retired. And she was absolutely right. It was me and her. She was there at the end of it. And that is what is most important to me, is at that point. I wish I would have put more emphasis on that earlier, but I just didn't. And I didn't realize as I get older, I realize how important family is to me, specifically, you know, close family, my mother and father and my wife and thank God that I have the support group, meaning my family and my wife, that enables me to do the things that I've been able to do, and I'm truly blessed.
Scott, thanks for sharing with us that question, that deep story. Makes us really think about we only have one life, so we got to really use it as do as many great things to it as we possibly can in our person, but also, yeah, in our personal lives with the people who are close to us, also the professional side as well. But you only have one chance to really make the impact to the people who you want to make that impact to. So thanks for sharing with us that question, all of your great insights throughout our time together. For all of the Breakthrough Success listeners wondering, where exactly can we find you?
Where can you find me? Can you repeat the question?
Where can we find you? Like a website or anything?
Oh,
like
yeah, you can find us at our website, which is www.ctderma.com. It's ctderma.com. That's our big presence on the web, and you can find us on Instagram, CT Derma, and also on Facebook at Dermesthetic CT or Derma CT on Facebook.
All those links will be in the show notes for Breakthrough Success. Scott, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show and sharing all of your great insights with us. It was such a pleasure to have you on Breakthrough Success.
Well, thanks, Mark.
How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn